Hi, good evening, everybody. Tonight's share is on Parshas Korach. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome, and thank you for joining. When you think about Parshas Korach, there's that joke that always comes to mind, which is that, you know, on Pesach you can't talk about Shavuos, on Shavuos you can't talk about Sukkos, etc. But come Parshas Korach, that's applicable for every time of the year, because sadly there's always room for disagreement. And as my Rebbe, who should be well and have a speedy Refuah Shleima, who's I'm dedicating the share tonight, Rav Moshe David Ben Bella, Rabbi Tamer, Shabbat Refuah Shleima, he always would say, Kishem Sheparts Hoseim, Shonos, Kach Deoseim, Shonos. In the same way that we don't look alike, it's equally evident that we don't think alike. And so there's always room for some form of of disagreement, but as long as we're able to keep it within Das Torah, then we're able to have a Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim. Unlike this week's Parsha, where we find that it's Machlokas Lo L'Shem Shamayim. So one of the first Nakudos that we can point out, one of the first pointers, is that Korah said, Beged Shekul Tchilas Trichin Tzitzis, if you have a Beged that's all blue, you really still need to put on those fringes at the end. Why not just have a beged that's all blue? It reminds you of Klapei Mala, because as we know, the reason for wearing tchilas, or the reason why people have taken upon themselves to put on tchilas, is because tchilas, even one string, reminds a person of the blue, which is the sky, which is also reminiscent of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides. We all know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all around us, but nevertheless, it reminds us of the sky. It reminds us of the story of when Moshe Rabbeinu was helping the Jewish people defeat Amalek as we exited Mitzrayim, and Amalek chanced upon us. And so, Vayiki, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were lifted, the Jewish people were successful. This is, excuse me, says the Torah. And when the opposite was true, then the counter effect happened as well. And so the Torah chides us and says, V'chiyada shal Moshe asa mochama. Do you think really the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, who were being held up by Hur and Aaron, were the caveat by which Moshe and the Jewish people were successful in battle? No. It means that when Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were raised, then the Jewish people looked up to the hands, and above the hands they saw Klapei Mala, they saw Davin Hashem. But when Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down and the Jewish people looked down to the earth, then they didn't daven. And so that's really what it all comes down to. So maybe you can argue, or perhaps you could suggest something that I was thinking about, that the tzitzis themselves, one, if you take a look at the tzitzis, you have 8 strings and 5 knots. Excuse me. And what is that equal to? That equals to 13. And what is 13 equal to? Echad. So if you take, so beged, he was really saying, you know, he was really fomenting the argument of machlokas. And so that's really why, because when you have achdus, you have shalom. And when you have shalom, you don't have any achdus. And when you have togetherness, you have peace. And when you have peace, you don't have disagreement. So basically, if you take away the achdus, what are you left with? You're left with machlokas. And that's exactly what Korach did. Asher Korach abadarach. That the same way that Amalek chanced upon us, Asher Korach Abadarach, that Korach made a division among the rank and file of the Jewish people. Now, it's really hard to understand why Korach would make a division in Klal Yisrael. Think about it for a second. He was the wealthiest person that ever lived, right? He was the person who found the rechush of Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef was tremendously wealthy because Paro rewarded him for doing such great service. And not only did he have all of the wealth in the world, not only was he the wealthiest person, you would think that that would be sufficient. He also had tremendous responsibilities. He had prestige, honor, respect. He had the ability to carry the Aron. He was the Nosi Aron. But we all know the people that carry the Aron, they weren't carrying the Aron. The Aron was carrying them. Foolishly, people think that they are actually carrying the Orot. The Torah, when we learn it, it carries us forward. It gives us confidence. It gives us understanding. And so that's the schus, obviously, of learning Torah, because so we become better, we find people. But in addition to his current responsibilities and the fact that he had all of the money in the world and he was the wealthiest person, he also had tremendous yichas down the line. And we all know who comes from Korach, Shmuel HaNavi. And Shmuel HaNavi was one of the greatest prophets of all time. As we say, Moshe Aaron Bekor HaNavu Shmuel Bekor Shmuel. So Chazal explained that on one side of the spectrum, you have Moshe Aaron and all of the Ziknei, all of the Kahanim. And on the other side, you have Shmuel. So Shmuel was equal to Moshe. He was not only equal to Moshe, he was three times greater than Moshe. He was Moshe Aaron and all the Kahanim, Shmuel Bekor Shmuel. And it was Shmuel who called out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a tremendous and a beautiful relationship with Shmuel HaNavi. And it's because of Shmuel HaNavi's mother, Hannah, that we actually learned how to daven, because everyone thought that she was drunk. But that we all thought that she was wise because she would start to whisper. And up until that time in history, all the Jewish people would go about their tefillos by calling out to Hashem, crying out and screaming. Hannah was the first person, Shmuel's mother, to teach us how to daven, a stiller Shmon Esrei, as they say. A Shmon Esrei that is quiet, that we're whispering to Hashem. And we're not only whispering, even though we say the same tefillos, we have to be so careful not to disturb the person next to us who's also whispering the same tefillos. So we learned how to daven through Hannah. And we have Shmuel, who before his death, he said, did I take a donkey from any one of you? You know, even though I was able to, I was a Navi, did I take something that didn't belong to me? Shmuel was the one who ushered in the Malchus of both Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. He, even though he explained to the Jewish people that the Pasuk of Som Tasim Alach HaMelech is found in the Torah, why would you want a Malach Bas of Adam when you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why would you? Because you know that the king is going to take a big rechush. He's going to have 18 wives. He's going to have 1,000 donkeys or horses. He's going to have a lot of rechush. He's going to have a lot of these things. Do you really want to give all of this away to the king? And the people wanted to be like other nations of the world. So Shmuel acquiesced and he said, okay. But Shmuel was also the great Shmuel who slew Agag. And Shaul HaMelech didn't have it in him, because Agag was a king and Shaul HaMelech was also a king. And it was difficult for him to part ways with a fellow king, even though this was his mortal enemy, because through Agag came Haman, and through Haman came a lot of aggravation and sadness, and so a lot of angst and anxiety. But Shmuel HaNavi was the one who listened to the Dvar Hashem, woke up early in the morning, and went about his business in finding out where exactly Agag was located and then slaying him himself. So Shmuel HaNavi was great. Now Korach had all of this, not only behind him, in front of him, and ahead of him, and it still wasn't enough. So I would like to conclude with the thought that is just as challenging as the question, why was this so? And what does this really teach us? I think the Zohar HaKadosh has a great explanation to this at the opening, and he says, in a nutshell, that people who try to say that left is right and right is left, or that something is what it isn't, or they have a new interpretation as to what the facts are. All these things don't serve the greater good. All they do is foment confusion, and it doesn't lead to anything positive. So we all know that a radiologist is not a chiropractor, and a chiropractor is not a genealogist, so everyone has their specific roles, and it also maybe it's born out of interest when it comes to profession. But when it comes to religious observance and when it comes to religious practice and responsibilities, we know that the Kohen is the one who has to be of a very high stature before he walks into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because if he isn't, he won't walk out alive. And we all know that the Kohen is the one who has to bless the Jewish people. He can't sit among the people and be blessed when he's the one who has to deliver the blessing. And the Yisrael, conversely, is not the one who's able to go up there and do blessings in place of the Kohen. Everyone has unique responsibilities as how the world is structured. And so we can't say that because I want more responsibilities, this is suitable for me. Why? Because frankly, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to assume responsibilities that you're not equipped to handle. And that's true when it comes to mechanics. It's true when it comes to medicine. It's true when it comes to surgery. It's true when it comes to religious practice as well. So the same cautionary methods that people apply to their own professions about, you know, even when it comes to reporting, financial reporting, regulatory reporting, reporting on insurance, when it comes to reporting on taxes, reporting on income, reporting on what are your professional skill sets. I mean, there's a certain level of honesty that has to be manifest. It cannot be made up, because when it is made up, it could have dangerous consequences. A person cannot say they have a doctorate when they don't have one, and then pretend that they are a doctor, obviously. So again, you know, just hammering the message home from the Zohar HaKadosh, we have to live within our boundaries, and we have to respect boundaries. And when we do, we will learn from the mistakes of Korach to appreciate what we have. Ezo Giber HaKovish Etzitzro, Ezo Chacham HaRoas HaNolad, and Ezehu Asher HaSameach B'Chalko. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you Hatzlacha and Bracha and a successful week ahead. And Refuah Shleima to Ramosha David Ben Bella. We should only know B'Suros Tovos, and happy occasions to come.